The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
How about that? It is Loveline. New open, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Yes, you live.
Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh, you live.
You live.
Yes!
You live, everybody. Hopefully Mike lives. He's not here right now. We have no idea where he is, but I imagine he'll be here any second. If I know him, he usually comes running in here if he's ever delayed by something. He is hauling his ass over here as fast as he possibly can. Anderson, what do you think this is all about? You accused him of becoming Corolla. I don't know if that's that's fair.
He's slowly but surely becoming Adam Carolla.
I don't. Well, Carolla was not late.
Yeah, Carolla would roll in here like 30 seconds before.
Yeah, but always.
And if he was late, he wouldn't let us know. He'd just show up. Man, what do you want?
That's true. That's true.
Goddamn Green Arrows.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Give me a call. I'll start taking calls. No problem here. Open forum tonight. Celebrity hookups. This is something that has really created some fascinating stories. We heard about a Taylor Swift hookup. We heard about
Michael Caine
hookup. And these were impressive stories and a lot of specifics, so they really sounded pretty plausible.
Catherwood's been fighting us on this the last couple nights. I don't know why. I don't know what his problem was.
I know. He didn't want to do it. And poor Rodney wanted it badly on Sunday night.
Who's Rodney? What's going on?
Rodney and the Rock here in Los Angeles.
Let's
go to calls. We got calls. What?
Do you think Mike doesn't like the celebrity thing because he was soliciting calls of females who banged him and he didn't get any?
He's down on that topic because he didn't get any responses?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. Let's get some calls here going. 1-800-LOVE-191. I had the caller's name up there a second ago. Caller number one, what's going on? Hey there.
Yeah, you did.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey now.
Hi. So I have a question. I've actually been on birth control,
mm-hmm.
And I've lost my sex drive almost completely.
Right, which is a common side effect of that kind of pill particularly.
Okay, because sometimes it will come back.
Yeah.
Like it'll hit me like, okay, I'm like totally fine. Like I want to have sex right now. But then most of the time it's just gone. Like it'll hit me randomly and
right.
then I'm totally fine.
You got to change your pills. You really do.
Okay.
Because there actually will be a test one day. A guy named Dr. Goldstein is working on this test that can determine what sort of sex hormone binding globulin you have that will predict whether or not you're likely to get this particular side effect from the birth control pills that have high potency progesterones. What you need is something with less progesterone, a little more estrogen, and talk to your doctor about that. There should be no problem doing it.
Okay.
The problem, if you let it go for long periods of time, sometimes it takes forever, if ever, for the sex drive to come back. So you really want to deal with this now, all right?
Okay, because I usually take birth control because I have, I guess, really bad hormonal imbalances.
Like what? What does that mean?
Well, I get really depressed sometimes, and after I've been taking birth control, it actually completely minimized my depression completely, and I get really bad cramps and everything. It was just terrible headaches, fatigue, everything. So.
Wow. So
So
this is the right birth control pill for that effect, okay?
Yeah.
So you got to talk to your doctor about weighing these things out. Maybe they can add some estrogen or something to try to get your sex drive back.
Yeah, because it's gone. It's like, dang, it really sucks because I'm getting married soon.
Oof.
So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, this biology of libido can really affect relationships. I see this all the time from antidepressant medicines, birth control pills, and people feel rejected. You know, your partner feels like you're not attracted to him, or he's you're not good enough, or you're rejecting, and that's rough. It's tough.
Yeah, okay. I totally am. I'm not rejecting. I just don't want it. It's just my body is off.
I know. Got to talk to your doctor about it. Do not just assume it's going to just. You have to live with that. Make adjustments to get it right. This is Andre. Andre, what's up?
Yes. My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, buddy. What's going on?
Not much. So I have a problem where I'll go on a date with a girl, and I guess it'll be okay, but then I'm not really that attracted to her during the date, but then once I'm not on the date, I am more attracted to the idea of her.
So the fact that she pays interest in you or maybe is attracted to you, suddenly you're interested in her?
Say that again?
Would it be accurate to say that it's somebody he have only modest interest in, but when she shows interest in you and sort of is excited about being with you and responds to you, then magically she becomes attractive?
Yes, precisely. And yeah. I didn't know if maybe that was a sign.
No, that's how, people work. That's kind of how people work. That's actually been shown to be true. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that, right?
I guess not. I just didn't know if it was maybe a sign of codependence or...
A little bit, maybe. I mean, maybe you're subjugating your own desires to somebody else's, but it is very common for people to appear more attractive when you get to know them and when they show interest in you. That happens. All right? I wouldn't worry about it. It's an okay thing. This is... look at this. Okay. Steve, what's going on? Brooklyn, what's going on?
Howdy, guys.
Hey, buddy, what's up? You live.
question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was talking to a friend about studying neuropsychology, and I was talking to a friend about toxoplasmosis.
Oh, great.
And we got into the topic of cats. And what is it about the stereotypical cat lady? Is there a link between schizophrenia and the amount of cats you have?
No, there's hoarding in schizophrenia, and people do hoard animals. There's such a thing. And so maybe people make a link there. But I think most of the cat ladies are not schizophrenic. They're not psychotic. They're just lonely. And for whatever reason, this is a way for people. I'm sure there are character constructs that sort of attracted to that. I don't know it offhand. But why were you talking about toxoplasma?
Wait, what is that before you begin?
Toxoplasmosis is a parasite that you get from cat
food. Oh, that it makes you do certain things? So where's he going with this?
It doesn't make you do certain things. You can die of it. I mean, it can get in your brain. It can do all kinds of crazy stuff. What?
It's not like that thing where it's in mice, and then if the cat eats the mouse, it'll make it not want to go after mice.
No, it controls the brain. No, it's like insects do that kind of stuff. But why are we talking about toxoplasma?
Well, the toxoplasma gondii.
Gondii.
Yeah, I read something about the mice thing where if the mouse was exposed to it, they would be drawn to the cat.
See, that's what I was talking about.
Your target.
So you're postulating that these women get toxoplasmosis or toxoplasma.
And then they go down
carriers.
The pound and they save a bunch of cats.
I don't know. It's genius. It'd be fascinating if you can do the study and see if there's a carrier state that generates attraction to cats. But I don't know about that. Do you think it's possible?
I mean, if you looking back at all the 60s and all the psychedelic, like the Cheshire Cat and there was an artist who developed late onset schizophrenia in his 20s, and he had a fascination with cats. And
Steve, how high were you when you were sitting there with your friend talking about this?
Yeah, I you're talking about these isolated anecdotes, and I don't think you can make big trends based on these isolated cases. These are anecdotal. They're interesting. I would pursue it. It's worth pursuing, but I don't think you can really say anything.
Hey.
Yeah, what?
Before you move on, speaking of cats, I got a Cather Wood update. I just text him, what's your deal?
Yeah.
He responded with, sorry, on my way.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe a baby thing going on. Ken, what's up?
Yes. I was wondering if it's possible for a female clitoris to become desensitized from, over-masturbation with, the body wand or whatever.
With the body wand? Yeah, absolutely it can. That's a common thing.
Okay, because I noticed it seems like it gets harder and harder for me to make her reach an orgasm through, oral stimulation or, that kind of stuff.
And she's using the vibrator a lot of the time?
Every night.
Yeah, well, that maybe she just have to, you have to just incorporate that into what you guys are doing, and that's her new...
we do that also. I was just wondering if it could make it desensitized, so it would make it harder.
Absolutely, and she can tell you. She'll tell you that's what's going on.
All righty.
She knows.
All right, thanks a lot, Dr.
All right, buddy. Good luck, man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I want to take this one call here about pancreatitis. If they could put it on hold, for God's sakes. Let's see if I can get it here. Of course not. This is Shelby. What's up?
Hi. Okay, so I am almost 3 months pregnant, and I'm married, and my husband has, like, no sex drive. And it was kind of like that before until we started trying, but I don't know how to, like, make him... I don't know if it's a baby thing or, like, what the deal is.
What do you mean before he was had no sex drive?
Like, before we started, like, actively trying to have kids, he didn't really have one. But then when we were, like, you know, not using protection and trying to, like, make a baby, I guess you could say, he, like, had a super high sex drive. And so I've tried talking to him about it, but he just sort of, like, shuts down. And he always has, like, the typical woman excuse, like, I'm tired or I'm stressed or, like, stuff like that.
Anything else? Taking pills, smoking pot, drinking?
Nope, none of
that. Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, the only kind of weird thing is he swears now that he has poison oak on his, like, junk.
Uh-oh.
But that's, like, it just, like, seems like one of the many excuses.
Hey, Drew, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
If you get poison oak on your penis, it's everywhere else.
You got
as
it
well,
everywhere
right?
else. I'll tell you what looks like poison oak on the penis, though.
Herpes.
Herpes. That's right.
No, he has it everywhere else, too. I mean, he works in like the woods and stuff.
And so it's all over him. You see
with
it everywhere.
His penis just dangling about?
Yeah, but if it's all over them and they get the oil, they get on their hand, then they get the oil on the penis, so that happens.
Yeah, he has it like on his arms and his hands and he thinks on his head too.
All right.
His actual head.
All right, well then he shouldn't be having sex with you. He shouldn't want to have sex with you, right? He's got...
But this is just, I mean, there's weeks that he doesn't have it that he says like he's tired and stuff. And I don't know, I feel like it's because I'm pregnant.
Well, some men are freaked out about having their partner get pregnant. It really shuts them down. Some men are attracted by it and some men are shut down by it. And
is there anything I can do to like make it better? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like super sensitive right now anyways. I don't know what to do to get him to like want me.
What trimester is this?
I'm just ending the first.
Yeah. You got to talk to him. He owes you A, an explanation. He also owes you B, some attention. I mean, that's his job right now.
Because he's so, like, he literally is doing everything around the house because I'm, like, so tired and stuff all the time. This is, like, the one thing that he's not doing.
Yeah. But talk to him. He owes you an explanation. That's for sure. And if he can't muster it and then you can understand why because he tells you why, then okay. But it's his job right now to take care of you, to make you feel secure. And you've got to really impress that upon him and tell him how insecure it makes you feel when he's sort of unavailable to you. Really, it must feel.
If he does bang her.
It's women who feel most vulnerable during the pregnancy. It's just terrible.
She got the poison oak up inside. And
no, I know. She shouldn't.
That would be brutal.
No, I know. She does.
Constantly masturbating.
Stop it. But she said, you know, before that it was a problem. She put that. It understands that's an issue.
Well, Catherwood update.
Okay.
Just got another text from Catherwood. He wrote, just fell asleep sitting there.
Uh-oh.
As though I know where he was sitting, I guess at home.
At home with the baby.
See, I told you, he's becoming Corolla. That's like an old man thing to do. Corolla's a king.
He was
man.
Telling me he was really tired earlier today, so it's getting away from him. Man, he had a bunch of head trauma over at Ellis Mania.
We're doing a new thing here on Love Line. We are not playing music on the way out. I'm just going to go bang straight to a stinger. It's kind of tough since you're sitting where Mike is, but we're going to try that.
Let's do it. Hold on a second. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll use our hands to cue you. How about that? The open forum tonight is Celebrity Hookups. We're finally getting to that open forum. Rodney will be happy from here at the flagship station K-Rock here in Los Angeles. It's Love Line.
All right.
Love Line. Love Line. We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's next great groundbreaking drama.
I'm trying to find out who killed our son.
One crime will affect so many lives.
You need to be the voice for people who do not have a voice.
American Crime, series premiere Thursday, March 5th at 10, 9 Central on ABC. And experience the weekly American Crime podcast hosted by Elvis Mitchell with an inside look at each episode. Subscribe now at podcastone.com/American Crime.
Hi, I'm Shawnee O'Neill, inviting you to check out my new podcast with my friend Stella. It's the Mogul Moms Playbook. This is for all the superwomen out there juggling kids, career, parenting, and relationships. We know it's not easy, so we got your back. So join us and our celebrity friends for a little moral support, helpful tips, encouragement, advice, and a bunch of laughs. Download new episodes of Shawnee and Stella every Tuesday at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
We'll be right back.
WBBE191. It is Love Line. Catherwood on his way here. He just passed out. What are you going to do? Got a lot of interesting calls. Again, the open forum with celebrity hookups tonight. This is Angela. What's going on? Whoop. Angela? Angela? I hear you there. You know why I don't have Angela? Because that's Angela. What's up, Angela?
Yeah?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, you live.
You live.
And Rune lives. Rune definitely lives. Okay, so...
might be the strangest caller we've ever had.
Great, I'm happy. Okay, so my father has chronic pancreatitis from heavy alcoholism, which has involved the past year of being on and off life support, a number of surgeries, comas, like the whole party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering that now that he's out of the hospital and survived it all, I just don't understand how he can, like...
Keep drinking?
No, definitely no. Like, he's, like, you know, 130 pounds now, just, like, on the brim of life.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand. It seems like he totally, like, mentally skipped over the whole, like, mental element, or, like, mental wiring of addiction. He's just, like, really gung-ho on life. And I just, like, most people I know who have, like, have been through addiction, they have to be, like, real advocates of their sobriety.
Right.
He just seems to, like, not have that on his mental landscape.
So he's just euphoric now that he survived?
Yeah, he's just all like, this is my second shot at life, all gung-ho.
Okay. And is he on any medication or painkillers?
Well, that's something I was kind of, my last visit home, we're really open about, like, drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. We're, like, a strange family like that. And when I was leaving, I just saw some Norcos.
Okay. He's on painkillers. That's why he's high all the time. He's on painkillers.
I just feel like he would tell me, like, that because, I don't know. That was just a shocker. But even before that, I was wondering. So I don't know.
The painkillers will take over for the booze. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Easily. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's not on painkillers for a second. There actually is an antidepressant effect of having been in shock, in cardiovascular shock. In fact, that's where electric shock therapy came from. Before electric shock, there was influenza shock and insulin shock because doctors noticed that patients that came out of these horrible episodes of severe medical illness were euphoric for a while. The problem is it wears off. It wears off. I've seen chronic pain patients and all kinds of stuff that come out of an ICU and they're like, they don't have any more pain anymore and they're feeling great. And so I've seen that happen, but it doesn't last. And if he's on painkillers, well, that's what this is going to take over here.
Awesome. That's like exactly what I wanted to hear because it's really tripping me out.
Yeah. So, and if he feels magically, again, let's assume that there are no painkillers and he magically thinks he's going to stay sober. When he starts struggling again, maybe then he'll be willing to get some help. Okay.
True. Okay.
All right, there you go.
Is that the same as like the pink cloud?
Bye-bye. It's a pink cloud, but he may not be in the program. A pink cloud is usually – pink cloud comes from people diving into the program and being so grateful that they can be honest and they don't have to feel shamed anymore and they have support of their peers. And it's the program that gives the pink cloud, not the not drinking and using. Christine, what's up?
Hi. I was actually just calling because my son was circumcised day one. There was a complication.
What happened?
I think they pulled it back a little bit too far, mm-hmm. and then they had to go back in and re-suture it.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward now about I think he's under two. He's just under two, and he still doesn't look like he's circumcised. My pediatrician keeps telling me that it's normal. You know, he has a little bit of a fupa,
mm-hmm.
and that's pushing it forward. We went and actually saw a urologist, and they said that there was a quarter of an inch extra still left on,
mm-hmm.
that he essentially wouldn't grow out of. I just been trying to weigh out the risk whether or not it would be a good idea to get him re-circumcised again because we have to really be diligent about cleaning everything. And
yeah.
I don't want him to feel, when he's older, I just don't want him to be outcasted or he's different and have that problem.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. But be that as it may, did the urologist suggest he redo it?
They kind of said it was up to him. It was more of a personal, you know, in his opinion, he said he would wait. And it's more of an opinion for us as parents. And
by waiting, he means wait and never do it or wait and see how he develops.
wait and see how he develops, because he still is a little bit of it still is chubby, and my first son, this obviously didn't happen. Everything kind of went, it was normal right away, even though he was also a little bit chubby. He grew into everything.
I think I'd be inclined to wait, too. It just sounds a little, it's your anxiety we're responding to rather than his immediate needs.
Yeah, I kind of felt a little bit anxiety. Is there a certain time that, you know, it's not a good idea to do that? Because, I mean, I don't want to have him be five.
Yeah, it gets more difficult as they get, yeah, it gets more difficult as they get older. But, you know, he may not need it. He really might not. And I think I would fall, you know, maybe check back in with the urologist for 6 months or 8 months or 10, you know, a year. And then kind of, but don't make him in a decision all at once. He's already had one sort of go around with this. Jessica, what's going on?
Hey, so I have a problem. I've been dating this guy, and whenever I go down on him, whenever I swallow, I get really, really sick. And he's the only guy I've ever had this problem with.
Weird. And is it?
Please tell me you told him that.
Well, she vomits right away.
Everyone else's semen makes me feel fine, but yours.
Nice.
Yeah, he knows, and he's kind of concerned, too, because he's never had this problem either.
Does he take any medication or anything that could be concentrating in the sperm?
Not that I know of, no. He doesn't take anything.
No speed? Never done meth?
No, nothing like that.
Well, hard to understand what that would be, huh? Is it a larger volume than you're accustomed to?
No. If anything, it's probably less than what I'm used to.
Weird. Mike, this girl vomits every time she swallows this boyfriend. No others, but this guy all of a sudden.
He has rancid spunk.
No, he doesn't, though. She doesn't notice anything unusual, but except it's less volume, not more volume.
It does taste very odd. Now, I had done this, you know, a few times without getting sick, but then maybe about a month in or so after it was fine, then I started to get really, really, like, ill. And I mean, like, practically immediately, like within a couple hours.
So weird. Well, it's something in him. That's all we know, right?
I mean, it's awesome.
I've heard this. It's not as though I've never heard this before. I've heard it before, and I've never been able to really quite figure out what that is. And I always thought it was usually sort of the volume. But she says it's a lesser volume.
Okay, does it shoot out particularly violently? Like, even though it's a lower volume, does it hit the back of your throat harder?
No. I mean, it really doesn't. And it's actually not like vomiting type of sick. It's
what?
It's without, you know, giving too much information. It's kind of too late. You get it.
What do you get? What do you mean it's not vomiting? What do you said you get sick. What do you mean?
Oh, I still get, like, digestive sick, but I don't vomit.
Oh, okay. It's like indigestion.
I get
horrible. Yes, exactly.
You get diarrhea.
Well, that's where you drew the line? You couldn't just say diarrhea? You were talking about how you get...
He's swallowing jizz and vomiting. You can't talk about diarrhea? Hey, by the way, what you put in your mouth, there's no relationship there. You have immediate diarrhea when you put something in your mouth. That's it takes 8 to 12 hours to get down there, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So there's only one thing that can affect down there. It's something called the gastrocolic reflex, and that's usually activated by, like, hot liquids. So there is sort of a must.
It's hot.
Yeah, there is sort of a maybe it's extra. Maybe it is hotter, but there is sort of a contraction, you know, of the colon distally and towards the rectum when things hit the stomach. Again, gastrocolic reflex. But that has nothing to do with semen, nothing whatsoever.
Could it be, Drew, could that be the case if he was entering her in a different area?
No. Mm-mm. If she should try it with, like, coffee and see if the same thing doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? It's that ridiculous that she's making the association there.
Wait, Drew.
What?
Let's get into this a little bit.
No, we're done.
Did my text wake you up, Mike? I want to know if he was like, I don't want to talk about the diarrhea.
I want to talk about Mike.
He walked in here, looked bewildered, too.
Are you okay?
No, Magnolia woke me up.
Too many head injuries?
No. I don't think so.
Huh? Just now when you walked in the studio, you looked like somebody who, like, walking away from a car wreck. Kind of like dazed.
Well, I walked in with Rune. So I was confused by that.
Did you hear that caller tonight saying Rune lives? She loves Rune?
Yeah, that's strange.
Do you know what happens when you're
talking
not here?
About poop dildos, and that is the strangest call we've ever had. But I was also thinking about the guy who called about the cat lady syndrome.
Yeah, it's interesting, huh?
Yeah. And what was he saying? That is there any?
He was vaguely alluding to a syndrome that mice get when they're invaded by a pathogen called toxoplasmosis. Uh-huh. That they come around the cats, and he's postulating that maybe cat ladies are infected by this stuff.
Mm. What did we talk about the other day with Rune?
With Rune? Rune. Oh, maybe he has toxoplasmosis.
The only guy collects cats.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
I love my cats
better than dogs.
Better than dogs, and I love my futon.
There he is doing jumping jacks at, looking at you.
So what, are you just sitting on the Davenport at home watching TV, and you just fall asleep with like a iced tea in your hand?
Almost. I wasn't watching TV. I was just sitting there kind of not trying not to wake up my daughter. So I was in my living room on my couch after I had cooked dinner for Bianca and I. And the next thing I know, Bianca started Magnolia started crying.
Bianca.
And I looked at my watch, and it was like 10:10. Oh. And I was like, oh, must fall asleep.
Yeah. Nothing to do about that.
Yeah. So I very much apologize.
We have new music, new bumpers, new everything.
Really?
It's fantastic. And no more music going out to commercial. We just out. Let me show you. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Be right back.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
It makes sex even better.
Hey, everybody. I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite website, Chive.com, now has words. And it's come in the form of our shiny new podcast right over at Podcast One. So join us. I'm John Rezik. This is Bob Phillip.
Hi.
Every Thursday for a mix of Chive culture, celebrity interviews, and offbeat current events. You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them. So it's the Chive Podcast. It's total ear candy. There's no snark involved in this. And you can download it now at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Ow. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Go ahead and give us a call. Dr. Drew and I are here for you. Let's talk to Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
What's up, baby?
How are you?
I'm not good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What's up? Here we go. Come on now.
Okay, so my issue is when I sleep with my boyfriend, usually I don't know how to say it hurts a lot. Like, it seems like no matter what position we're in, unless it's regular missionary, it hurts. And I think it's because I'm really dry, I guess, with him. But I don't know why I'm really dry with him.
So because he has a flower-made penis.
cat litter?
Yeah.
So you're not lubricating normally. Has that ever been a problem before?
No.
And it's now. Are you on a new birth control pill?
I've been on the Mirena for a few years.
And didn't have that problem with it before?
No.
Okay. And is it possible you're having vaginismus, like a muscular contraction, more than dryness?
I don't think so, because, like, even in the beginning, like, when we first start out, there's just no wetness. There, even during foreplay, there's just nothing.
Do you use a lubricant?
We haven't done that yet.
Okay. Then you need to get right on that for sure.
Okay.
Is there something making you anxious about this guy?
But what do you mean by anxious?
Nervous. Kind of.
I think it may be the pain about it that I'm like kind of like, oh my God. Like.
So you're anticipating pain.
Yeah, I guess.
I think the main thing is to tell him this is happening. And so you can enlist his help in sort of getting you to calm down and maybe get more involved in this. And he can do other things first to you, right, other than penetration. Maybe he's not giving you enough time to get going, right?
Maybe.
Is that possible? But you got to tell him. You got to enlist his help to do what, you know, get you where you need to go. And it's up to him working with you to help you with that. Being quiet is not going to help things.
Okay.
Right? And then get a lubricant, too, and see if you can sort of make yourself a little more comfortable with that. But be careful. It could be vaginismus also, which is a muscular contraction, which is maybe secondary to the dryness and the pain, which is another problem. But that has a different treatment. That is something that people actually do physical therapy to get over. So, okay. Well, first try talking, communicating, and lubricant, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
There's no way that that is correct because we already talked to this person. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, this is Anthony.
Yes, it is. What's going on?
Yeah. Hi. I guess I'm having issues with my brother. It's nothing sexual or anything, but I feel like we're for the past year or so we've been getting kind of distant, and we've been just really close growing up. And I mean, just earlier tonight, we got into a little bit of an argument. He asked him to drop me off at my house, and he's like, "Yeah, sure." And he needed to go to band practice, and I asked him, you know, "Oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Can you wait a couple minutes?" And he just blew up in my face, and I just don't know him to act this way. And you know, the whole way home, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Okay,
I'm
really sorry. I believe him.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident, and I'm really sorry about that.
That's right.
And, he just really blew up in my face, and I told him, you know, what's going on? You know, what's going on with you? This isn't like you to act this way. And it's kind of hard to admit this, but I like broke down in front of him. And
sure. What'd he say?
He said, you know, I just really, really need to get to band practice. They've been waiting for me for half an hour or something. And I mean, I've never shown him this side of me, you know.
And he still didn't give you any explanation. So
no, he pretty much like he even got on me even more. And I told him, you know, dude, what's going on? He we didn't even get to the house, and he kicked me out of the car, and I was it just totally caught me off guard.
How old is he?
He's 22.
Okay.
Any potential that he's on drugs?
Right. This just sounds like drugs and alcohol.
No, he's not on drugs or alcohol. Mm,
you better go make sure. You better hope he is.
We're pretty close, you know.
No, because you have no idea what's going on with him. We don't know if he's depressed. We don't know if he's becoming psychotic. We don't know anything. We don't know if he's broken up with a girlfriend. We don't know if you've made him, you know, resentful in some way. We know nothing. And for all you know, he's taking drugs because he would not tell you, not in this condition.
Well, the thing is that this just kind of it came out of nowhere,
as it always does.
That's why Dr. Drew and I are asking if he's on drugs.
As it does, that's how typical. That's how it happens.
It's customary. If someone were to develop a certain kind of behavior pattern over a long period of time and gradually get there,
that's different.
That wouldn't speak to drug use and alcohol.
It's either a sudden mental illness, some issue that he's not telling you about that you've triggered in him, must have resentment or something, or drugs. That's it. Those are the top three possibilities, by far and away over everything else.
I could see why you would think that, but I'm not going to tell you that I know he's not on drugs because you're going to.
I'm telling you, you better hope he is, because that's the best of all the things
right.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, or he's a dick. I mean, like,
would he suddenly become a dick? Like overnight, he becomes
an asshole. Yeah, maybe. Is there any chance that he's that point in his life? Like
22, he would have been a dick at 19, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have little brothers and sisters, and he's been kind of acting like a dick to them, but not to me. He's never acted that way to me.
How long has he been behaving that way?
Maybe gradually over maybe 6 or 8 months, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's sudden. That's sudden at age 22. Hmm. Well, I mean, you know, maybe ever can sit him down and see if you can get some honesty out of him, but whatever's happening, he's not telling you.
Yeah, and you know, I understand you're embarrassed because you showed that kind of vulnerability.
No,
but
it's appropriate.
If you love him that way and you're that close, I mean, again, like Drew said, it's appropriate. And the fact that he was kind of indifferent to your vulnerability and you opening up like that only speaks to him potentially having something seriously wrong. You know,
he wasn't completely indifferent. He did show a little bit of, I told him, dude, I'm on the verge of like, cause he was just talking so much crap and just
like,
really,
what was he saying? Like, what was he saying? He told us nothing so far.
He said he blew up, but I mean, I can understand if he was like in a pinch and he was late to somewhere that's important to him and he knew people were late, were relying on him. I can understand him being agitated and maybe even
angry
in a moment of weakness blowing up. But once you then go, oh, you know, hey, man, don't treat me like that and break down crying, then most normal human beings would be like, all right, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have gone that hard. But
yeah, well, I mean, he didn't apologize, but I did see it in his face that he regretted it or something, but he just did not back down at all. And
What was he saying?
He started criticizing me on things that, you know, what I do in my life and where I'm at, which is, I think I'm doing pretty good. And I mean, things that he did not need to, you know, criticize about.
Okay. Like,
a lot.
Well, I got to ask, why would he criticize you and where you're at in his life when he's 22 and needs a ride?
No, well, yeah, exactly. I have no idea. And that's why I wanted to maybe ask, you know, what advice, I guess.
Well,
what it could possibly, I really have no idea. And it's scaring me to a point where.
We have no idea because you won't tell us what he says.
Yeah, you won't tell us what he said, so we don't know if he has any sort of legitimate beef with you, number one. And if it's a complete, out-of-the-blue, irrational outburst, you know, where he's attacking you because he needs to get to band practice on time, that is mental illness. That's what that is, period. And the top three, you know, he's in the window when mental illness comes on, which is 18 to 22. Drug addiction, schizophrenia, bipolar depression, or depression. It's when they come on. It's this age group. Now, you got to go figure out which one it is.
Okay.
Unless he has some sort of legitimate beef with you, you're just not telling us about it. So.
Have you ever had sex or hooked up with a celebrity? Celebrity of any level. Sometimes it's funnier when they're like Z-level celebrities. We want to hear about it during the open forum later tonight here on Loveline.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
It is possible to establish communication instantaneously from any place at any time.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, I'm Jake.
And I'm Amir. And we're from that appropriately named web series, Jake and Amir.
We're also the voices of If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet. Hosted by us.
That's right. Every week we offer our personal insight to real problems submitted to us by real people, and sometimes even our comedy friends join, like Ben Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch, and Allison Williams.
The important thing is, the advice is often pretty bad.
But hopefully always funny.
So, go to podcastone.com and hit that download button to hear our terrible but hopefully funny advice.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, buddy, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a ring. It's Loveline. Hello, Victor.
Yeah.
What's up, Victor?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm a longtime listener and everything.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Everything. Good delivery. Nice.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I have this friend. He's a longtime friend. I grew up with him since high school. And he's recently has went crazy.
Thank you for that.
That's fascinating.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Let me backtrack. He met this girl, and he started becoming really, really, really obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through this process of, like he was going through stages like Buddhism, kind of. Like, he thought he found enlightenment because of this girl, but he only talked to her twice.
He thought he found what?
Like, enlightenment. And he said that he went through all these changes and stuff, and then he started smoking a lot of pot and a lot. And he still smokes a lot. And he's been trying to find his way back to this girl. He used to be, like, the sole provider of his family, but now he lost his jobs. He had another job, but he quit it because he's just trying to find this girl, and now his family's asking me if I know anything that can help him, because they're basically going to leave him on the streets.
Dang. How old is he?
He's 24.
And he's supporting, when you say he's helping support his whole family, you mean his child?
His actual family. His mom, his brother, and his sister.
Well, okay.
He used to be the sole provider, but now it's the second oldest brother.
Okay.
Because their mom doesn't work or anything.
Okay, and he's completely stopped supporting his family.
Yeah.
In order to pursue this girl that you say is not really all that there, all there.
She's not even in his life at all. He just wants to find her.
Okay, well he needs to get to a mental health institution.
Yeah, for sure.
He's really gone off the deep end.
Yeah, we've took him to one before and he just left, and I honestly don't know what happened. He went there and then he was gone. He came back maybe 3 hours later.
You need to take him again and explain to people what you're saying.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I mean, Drew, typically, I mean, we don't know all the ins and outs of this situation, but they can't hold him unless they have a mental health hold on the guy, right?
Right. There's a category called gravely impaired, and if the family comes in or friends come in and go, hey, look, this guy can't take care of himself, he's wandering around, he's dangerous, they will take your word for it and hold him.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because I really don't want him to be on the streets and stuff.
Yeah,
you're right.
But I mean, the way you describe it, that's where you're at. I mean, that's the only option you have here. He's not it doesn't sound like he can be reasoned with. It sounds like he's gone off the deep end.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to anything I tell him.
It could be drug induced. It could be acute, mental illness, just like we were saying. He's in that age group where it starts to come on. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
All right.
Good luck. I mean, that's a tough place to be. I'm sure you care about your friend very much, and so I wish you the best.
All right,
dude.
Thank you.
Hello. Hey, Drew. Just out of curiosity. Hi, Penny. Out of curiosity,
hi.
That's not crazy. That's a bad way to word it. It's not totally uncommon for that to happen to relatively normal and healthy people, right?
To what?
Like to really just snap, to have a Walter White kind of moment.
18 to 22 is when that happens.
Okay.
That's when they have their first breaks usually.
And so,
and if it's drug induced, it can happen anytime.
Okay. And if someone is to have one of those where they're operating in kind of the normal realm of operation for human behavior, and then all of a sudden have one of these, like this guy's describing, where they're claiming to be Buddhist and living on the streets and they don't want to listen to anybody.
Right.
Can the pieces be put back together relatively easily, or is that usually the sign of something that takes ongoing care?
Again, it depends. Oh, yes, it'll definitely. If it's not acute drug-induced psychosis, which is probably more like a schizophreniform thing, and that's a chronic illness. Yeah, it takes a while.
It's a chronic illness, but you can go back to being a good,
you're never
normal,
the same.
Right.
There's good evidence now that if you have it controlled in cognitive behavioral therapies and medications, that the more controlled you have it, the less the consequences are. The earlier you get it, the more you control the symptoms, the less it progresses.
Gotcha. Okay. Hello, Penny.
Hi.
How's the nickel and dime?
Thanks for taking my call. I feel like I really need to talk to someone about this, but I feel like no one will really understand, so
okay.
I really appreciate it. So lately, maybe starting in November, I started feeling a little bit, I guess, depressed. I haven't really felt happy doing the things that I normally used to do. Like I used to sing and play guitar and do music and write, and I just stopped doing all of it, and I kind of just got sucked into working a lot and going to school a lot. But now it's kind of progressed into something worse where I'm kind of worried I might have like a sex addiction. I basically want to have it all the time. I can have an orgasm and I want to go again. And at first my boyfriend was kind of down with it, like, oh, cool, like you want to have sex all the time. But it started to get a little bit scary because I wanted it to be increasingly rough. I need it to be rougher and less loving and less personable.
All right. Do you have any trauma history?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. A lot when I was 16,
kind of a lot. All right. So listen, you're using sex to regulate your mood, and you have a trauma history, so you're sort of reenacting the trauma as a way of sort of getting that intensity. You got to get some treatment. It all makes sense. I don't think you have sex addiction per se necessarily. I think if you get the mood thing under control, you'll probably get better. But you need treatment.
Okay.
You need to get taken care of, okay?
Okay. I just don't know, I guess, how to, access that.
Do you go to college? Yeah. Do you go to school?
Yeah, I'm in college right now.
Okay, every college has a mental health system.
Okay.
And it's designed, it's specifically dialed into your age group. So get it. It's free. Go get it.
Okay, yeah, because I'm, like, afraid it's going to mess up my relationship because now I've started looking outside of my relationship.
Well, then it will. Then it sure will. So, you know, right? If you start cheating, that's the end of that. So why don't you get some help before you do that? Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Have you ever had sex or hooked up with a celebrity? We want to hear about it during the open forum, which happens in about 5 minutes. So get your calls in. Let's see. Let's talk to someone who has the opposite problem as Penny. Hello, David.
Hey. I just wanted to say I'm glad you guys are still on the air.
Thanks.
I was working shift work for a while, and I haven't heard from you guys on the radio station out here. And then all of a sudden, I turned it on, and 2 days ago, I hear you guys and Dr. Drew. And is it Mike?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you guys are still on the air.
We're glad to be on the air in Illinois, dude. We really are. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
We don't call it Illinois. It's the frozen plains anymore.
Oh.
My question is, are there any things that can severely reduce a sex drive or a libido, specifically in women?
Can reduce it?
Or eliminate it completely?
Yeah, medication, birth control pills. Those are the most common.
Okay. I've been married about 5 years. My wife, me and her have been together about six and a half, almost seven. And at first, we were having great sex. I mean, it was, you know, once, twice a day, three times a week at least. And now it's like we can go an entire month. Our last was 3 months in between.
Is there anything else like childbearing come in the way here? Nothing.
No. She's been off birth control. We were actually going to start trying to have kids, but it's a kind of a joke with
and
my
does
family.
She have
got to pop them out.
Yeah. Does she have any explanation for what's going on?
No. And this has been over the past 4 years. It's been going on. It's sporadic at the best. And I'm used to. Oh, I was used to anyway a long time ago. A lot more sex than
that. Is the relationship going okay?
It's as far as I can hold out. Yeah.
Asked her about that?
I have asked, and I've had a number of times where I've just broken down, and I told her, "Listen, I can't live on this. I can't live with this. Mm-hmm. I need more romance. I need more physical love and stuff like that." And it's, you know, we come to terms. And
what does she say?
The last time she, you know, she cried and she said, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, I'm a terrible wife and this and that. And I tell her, no, you're not, you know, we just need to be better at this. We need to work on this. And, we come to that, we're going to do better and we're going to work better and we're going to have, you know, more and more spontaneity and more
okay.
romance
right.
and stuff.
Well,
and then nothing.
Well, no medicines, none of whatsoever, huh?
No medicines. She's been off birth control for about a year now.
All right.
And it hasn't improved.
You guys, you might certainly talk to her doctor, get her medically evaluated to make sure there's not something funky going on, like a thyroid problem or something crazy like that. And then maybe a marital counseling just to make sure, to get an assessment, make sure there's...
I was going to say, you know, it sounds mandatory to me. That's the only other option.
Yeah.
To talk, get in the office of a professional. And
talk about it. Yeah, for sure.
All right, dude. Good luck. Sound like a nice guy. It's time for the open forum. We want to know, have you had sex with a celebrity? It's that simple. And it could be any level of celebrity. Please do call us up. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Hey everybody, I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite website, thechive.com, now has words, and it's come in the form of our shiny new podcast right over at Podcast One. So join us. I'm John Rezik. This is Bob Phillip.
Hi.
Every Thursday for a mix of Chive culture, celebrity interviews, and offbeat current events. You never know who's going to drop by the studio, and you certainly never know what we're going to say to them. So it's the Chive podcast. It's total ear candy. There's no snark involved in this, and you can download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcast1.com.
For you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's Open Forum.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, we are we're committed to this one now.
Since you weren't here, we went for it.
You went for it because you knew I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how it worked out. You've been trying to have this
one. We couldn't understand why you were so resistant, but we thought we'd just go for it.
Because it's not good.
All right, we'll see.
It never works out, and I think we remember the highlights, and we don't remember the... This open forum is like Saturday Night Live, in that everyone goes, man, so much better in the 70s.
Right.
Because you remember...
Murphy's, when
right,
he was
you
there.
Remember, like, four bits that killed, because that's the ones you highlighted and filtered out.
Yeah.
Mike, you're wrong.
Well, we'll see.
Hello.
We'll see. Great, we'll test it out.
I think everyone should call up and prove Mike wrong.
We'll see.
Wrong.
Hello, Jason.
Gauntlet is down.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Hi.
So, yeah, this is my first time caller, long time listener.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. So, celebrity story. I was in Australia with my family. We went on vacation there, and we, stayed on an island off of Australia, off the main island. Took a boat in back to the mainland, back to Melbourne for the night before went back on the plane. Stayed at the hotel, went down to the jacuzzi, met these two girls, had no idea who they were. One of them, it ends up, she was on, American Idol, the Australian version.
Oh, she's probably super hot.
She wasn't.
Oh.
The other girl, though. The other girl is like a model and a TV celebrity out there. I had no idea. I was at a rave and met some Australian guys and was talking to them about it. Told them their name. They're like, hold on, the brunette on TV? I don't know. Lives in Melbourne? Like, dude. Yeah.
Okay.
And what's her name?
Dude.
Sophie Garnier.
Spell it.
Mike's on it.
Sophie, S-O-P-H-I-E.
Got that.
And, Garnier, Garnier, like the shampoo.
Garnier Fructis.
Yes.
Hold on, looking at
G-A-R-N-E-A.
N-I-E-R. G-A-R-N-I-E-R.
No, that's not how you spell the shampoo.
Garnier.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's typical. Let's see here. Yeah, and it does not give me a...
No image?
Young girl.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, well, that's fantastic. Thank you, sir.
All right. Stop proving Mike's point, everybody.
Thank you. Hello, Michael.
How's it going, guys?
Going well. And this was my argument to you guys last night. It usually goes like this. Hey, I had sex with this one guy, and I go, who's that? And he was on the show once, and his name is Guy. And I go,
you're right.
Okay.
So far, you're right.
Thanks.
All right. We'll see.
Hello, Michael.
How's it going?
Pretty well. How are you?
Pretty good. Just listening to the show. Love your show.
Thank you, man. I love you.
What's up?
So the person that I had a sexual encounter with was Nikki Cox back in the 80s.
Nice.
Nikki?
Yeah.
That's
She was a redheaded girl from California Dreams. I was a model at the time and came out on the show. Had a small recurring part and... kind of had a little thing on the side with her.
Nikki, like Jay Moore's Nikki Cox?
Nikki Cox. Oh, I don't know. I haven't.
Bobcats?
Or what?
Yeah. Bobcats.
Bobcats.
Yeah, and Jay Moore's current.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I asked is because I don't believe Nikki was on California Dreams. There may be. That's a pretty.
Yeah, it was a redheaded girl.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fantastic. She's a very, very, very nice lady. She's a tremendously nice young woman. Yeah. I'm kind of interested in this because I've heard a lot of dirty stuff about these Disney / Nickelodeon stars. Hello, Melissa.
Yes, this is she.
Hi. Tell us your sexual encounter with a celebrity.
Okay. I went to college with Nickelodeon star. His name is Jordan Calloway. And,
don't stop her.
We
have
senior.
To know how many times she's
senior.
On the phone.
Yeah.
And what? Say it again.
Nope.
Hello?
Yeah, no, we're good listening. Go ahead.
We ended up hooking up several times.
It's mom on the other end. It's mom or boyfriend.
There isn't really a story to it, but I don't know if you know Unfabulous. He was on there, and then he just did Drumline 2, and then he's done several things.
Nice.
What's his name again?
Yep.
What's his name? Jordan Calloway?
Jordan Calloway.
All right.
What college?
Azusa Pacific University.
APU.
Yep, that's where I went. Graduated from there.
Is that a particularly religious school? I know it is a religious school, but is it, like, actively religious?
Nah.
I'd say, like, you definitely get a good amount of, like, Bible thumpers, and then some that are just definitely not even in it for religion, and yeah. then, like, the average was more in the party scene. I am religious, but... I definitely need people that went for it. A lot of them
the same number every
would
time.
Go to APU because they wanted to meet a Christian girl. It's like the biggest thing there, ring by spring. So everyone tries to get a ring by spring senior year. Yeah,
they have the same thing at Arizona State, but it's the O-ring. You're looking to get the butt by spring. Yeah.
It's the O-ring or it's the birth control ring.
Nuva
ring.
Drew. Hello, Raphael.
Hi. Hey, a long-time listener. I love you guys.
I'm a long-time listener of you.
By the way, that no disparagement, Matt. Was it ASU you were talking about? But did you? Was it ASU you referenced?
I think I said yeah. I was that's a listening. Typical party school.
Yeah, but do you see the stuff that... oh, crap, I can see his face as clear as they got into the MSNBC announcer. Or
Chris Matthews?
ESPN announcer, I'm sorry. Funny, Joel McHale's friend.
Bill Simmons?
Oh, crap.
Oberman?
Keith Oberman got okay. in. The trouble he got into for just bashing Penn State students
no, why?
On Twitter. You're just bashing them, like going after them.
But that's his, right? What did they say?
Lost his job for a couple weeks.
Lost his job or isn't getting paid
he's,
for his
He's
job.
Off for a couple weeks, been suspended.
And is he getting paid?
Suspension means
he's going to go down there and bang everyone. That's how he's
going to
spend
What was he saying
time.
About him? That they are dumb or that they molest children?
It's basically, they had no bell, please. They had no moral compass, and they were foolish, and they were undereducated, all kinds of stuff.
Well, doesn't he I'm have a leg to stand on? I mean, they did embrace he was Joe pretty, Paterno.
It was pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's his shtick, though, right? He's Keith Olbermann. He's always rubbed people the wrong way on purpose to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Look at line one.
By the way, Keith Olbermann's a Ivy League guy, so... Yep. I think not Cornell. He went to – where did Bill Maher go to school?
Bill Maher went to Cornell.
Okay, yeah. Then Keith Olbermann went to Cornell. I mean, stop it, people.
Go if you ever bang Bill Maher, call us up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, I hung up on Raphael. Sorry.
What was Raphael going to tell us?
I don't know. Nothing important. I mean, it wasn't like he was like, oh, I banged Reese Witherspoon. Okay. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hi.
So I dated a girl named Amanda Peterson, and she was a star on iCarly every now and then. And we actually just did oral sex for the most part. But
you did what?
Oil sex?
Yes.
But don't say that as if we're supposed to know what that is. Do you mean you had sex in oil?
No, oral sex.
No, oil.
But I said oil sex. I was like, oh, too. Awesome.
My apologies.
No problem. She's pretty.
Yes. This girl actually was the girl that unlocked that for me because I wasn't a big fan of it when I was younger. But then I was dating her and I fell asleep and she went down on me and my whole arms went numb as soon as I was waking up to her doing this.
Well, that's fantastic. She blew you. We just had the greatest call ever, but the guy's clearly joking.
Oh.
Damn it.
Want to get it?
Hello, Danny.
Hi.
Hi, this one's great. Go ahead. Which celebrity did you have sex with?
Paula Abdul.
And what era? What era, Paula Abdul?
This was when she was on American Idol.
So she was at the peak of her insanity.
Yes.
How did you gain access?
I actually used to work at the Jimmy Kimmel show.
You used to work for Jimmy Kimmel. Good for you.
Security for Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, and that's how you got in touch with Paula Abdul?
Yeah, I was in charge of the green rooms.
And that's probably why you used to work for Jimmy Kimmel, because you were working security for his green rooms and banging guests.
Pretty much.
All right, well, how was that?
It was actually pretty awesome.
Which dressing room was she in there?
True.
He was in charge of the green room. He knew exactly which one she was in.
She was actually in green room one, the one to the left of Jimmy's.
If you're facing towards the theater?
Yeah, where they have the bar in the green room at the bottom.
If you're facing, where was her dressing room?
Directly when you went in, to the right.
Okay.
So when All you right. came out.
Okay. This guy's true.
All right, yeah, he's right.
Okay. What's Paula Abdul's vagina like?
It was actually pretty ripe.
Pretty ripe.
Ripe.
Yeah.
She had a stinky vag?
No. She was drunk at the time.
Shocking.
So no, she wasn't. She was on pills.
So crazy, pills. Wild. She just jumped me right
Did
there.
You bang her? You banged her at the green in the green room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome.
Wait, was it before she went on the show or after?
After the show.
Wow.
That'd be pretty sweet if she did it, like, right before she went out there for her interview.
I have to go talk to Jimmy Kimmel. Come sit on my face.
Kimball.
All right. Well, Danny, continued good luck not being Jimmy Kimmel's security guard. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We're taking
stuff.
Calls.
What about line 2 there?
A lot of interesting calls for us. Please do call us up and let us know if you've had sex with a celebrity. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Tag team a chick with Jim Jeffries.
Oh,
I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop staring at him.
So no, because we had on the phone screener up here that it said you had sex with Jim Jeffries, which.
No.
I thought was clearly like you were in like an inside joke and we were going to laugh. Haha, our friend Jim Jeffries, he's gay. But you actually double teamed a chick with Jim Jeffries.
Yeah, I couldn't stop staring at him the whole time. And as I was loading, I just looked at him and said, man, Jim Jeffries. I can't believe it.
Where was this?
This was at a show in Brea, after a show, actually.
I totally buy this because... Well, I'm going to keep, my mouth shut. No, I don't need to. I'm pretty sure you're telling the truth because I'll just keep my mouth shut. But I saw some things with Jim.
By the way, he's ready to come back. He wants to be on the show.
Okay. Listen, Jim's always welcome.
Wait, did that come up while they were like...
why would you tag that? by the way, Jim would like to get in next week if possible. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Is that Emily on the line? No, it's a different lady.
Oh.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Have you had sex with a celebrity? We'd like to know. It's pretty simple. That's as simple as our open forums get. This is turning out to be okay. I apologize. It's not great, but I apologize already. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
No one else can find the trouble so quickly or repair it so economically.
Loveline is coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
Yeah, I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. It makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Let's see here. We're talking to people who have had sex with celebrities. That is our open forum. Have you had sex with a celebrity? Hello, Nikki.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have two, actually.
Okay.
First it was Adrian Grenier from
Very Handsome Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's a threesome, actually.
Whoa! Whoa! Wait.
Yeah.
And what? Like, you were one of two girls, or
was one of two girls.
That's a killer setup. And how did that work out? Like, where? How'd you meet him? How'd that get set up?
my friend and I were extras on an episode of Entourage and just ended up talking to him, and he invited us over. So we came over, and, like, I didn't assume. I was maybe 21 years old. I didn't think we would, you know, be fooling around. I thought it was just, like, a cool sleepover. But
right. Wait. Oh, please.
Yeah, really successful actors that are beautiful men often just invite girls over to hang out and watch
just
TV.
Just have a sleepover, a slumber party.
Yeah. And
the other one?
Yeah, Shane West.
Shane West. Nice, solid. We've had him on the show. He's a good dude.
He's great. He is a good guy.
And how did that work out?
That he was just kind of friends of friends, and we would go out and party in the same crowds together.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we hooked up for a while.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good times.
You're welcome.
Let's see here. Hello, Dawn.
Hello there.
And who did you have sex with, Dawn?
Long-time listener, Sheryl Crow. I was in the vending business with my father back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out repairing pinball machines in Cambria, California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful Cambria, California.
Yeah, on the way home, there was this gal on the side of the road. It's probably about, I guess, about 8 o'clock at night, hitchhiking. I thought it was kind of peculiar. So I picked her up. And during our conversation on the way to Santa Maria, where I was headed, she told me she was Sheryl Crow,
and you
was
believe
kind
that?
Of flabbergasted that I didn't know who she was, because I said I'd never heard of her. And she wanted a ride to Santa Monica, and I said, well, I'm going to Santa Maria and give you a ride that far. And
why would Sheryl Crow be hitchhiking?
Yeah, she was hitchhiking.
And
she
was the late 80s?
Argument with her, whoever she was with in Cambria, and wanted to hitchhike back to Santa Monica.
This was in the late 80s?
In the late 80s, like 86.
Why didn't she just call a car like she normally did?
Well, yeah, go figure.
I'm also confused as to how that worked out, because Sheryl Crow didn't receive any fame until like the early to mid-90s.
Hmm.
I know, and that's what she told me during this conversation that we had.
During her conversation with you in the mid-80s, she said, I'm not going to be successful till the mid-90s?
No, she told me this. She goes, if you don't believe me, you listen. I'm going to write a song about tonight.
Okay,
you're not
a sane person, and that's not true. This is a good... Hello, DJ.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening? You have a great one.
Yeah. Sarah Hyland, she plays the daughter on Modern Family.
Yeah, that girl's hot.
Yeah, she is.
How old is she?
She's 5 years younger than me.
Well, help us out, please, because I don't know how old you are.
29.
24.
Okay, she's an adult. When did this happen?
About a year and a half ago, maybe.
And how'd that work? How'd that happen?
Well, I'm pretty new to L.A., and before I got out here, I was working at a pretty upscale steakhouse in New York City, and her and one of her friends came in, and me and one of the other guys who worked there just wound up chilling with them after they were done with dinner when we closed the restaurant down.
Nice.
And went back to their room. They were staying at the Dream Hotel downtown.
Dude, look at you. And so... Where, like, you just knocked it out right next to your buddy and her friend?
It was kind of, her friend wasn't as cool, so it wasn't quite that easy. He had to put a little bit more work in, which I was surprised because her friend wasn't the celebrity. She was the celebrity, so
yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird, but nah, she was chill as hell, and yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, she seems like a relatively... I'm like one of the only people on the planet, and I don't say this to brag. I should. I'm like one of the only people that doesn't watch Modern Family. I don't know her as an actress, but she seems like a pretty cool person.
You've never watched it?
I once on a plane.
Yeah, okay.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It seems to be awesome.
Just not on your radar.
No, it's just one of those things. Like I have so little time, and I should make a point to watch it.
I don't watch Breaking Bad. Not Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, because I've been watching the show for a little while, so like seeing her younger and then seeing her older, and then
that's got to be weird.
That happened and was kind of weird. But
got to be weird.
I wasn't gonna pass it up because of that.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. No, that's it. I have to go to this one. Hello, Martin.
Hello, how you gentlemen doing this evening?
When did you make out with Demi Moore?
It was probably about
30 years ago.
Oh, okay, okay, perfect. How big was her vagina bush?
Did you get there?
You know, I didn't get a look at what, you know, from what you were saying about it. I had no idea. That was before the implants and the veneers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it was in the era of the famed Demi Moore Bush.
She's also incredibly
attractive. You know what's funny is when she first came into the program, everybody was in her room, and everybody was a little starstruck because I guess at that time she was doing General's Hospital or whatever.
Okay.
And the one thing that I noticed when I went in there and said hello is that her legs were a bit hairier than to my liking. You know?
I'm telling you, dude, the Demi Moore Bush is real. Lives on forever. Let's talk to. Hello, David.
Hey,
what's happening?
Not much.
We're taking calls of people who've had sex with celebrities.
They're porn stars up there. That's inevitably what gets into this lineup.
Yeah. Hello, David.
Yes. She's not necessarily a celebrity, but her fiance, I guess, now is.
Yes.
And so I had sex with Landon Donovan's fiance.
Do you understand any connection with him in this program?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
I don't know if that certainly doesn't count because she isn't a celebrity.
Right.
But, you used to date her before Landon did?
No. We used to work together and in the hotel industry. And, you know, when you work in the hotel industry and you're in the sales department, you have site tours when customers want to come see hotels. It's just we happen to go up there together.
Huh, fantastic. How did that work out?
It was awesome.
All right,
nice. Nice. Well done,
David. Okay. How much time we got? God. Oh, hey, I got to talk to this one. So let's keep the soccer theme alive. Okay. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
You had sex with Alex Morgan?
I did.
She's very attractive.
Very.
And how'd you manage to set that up?
She was younger than me. I was a senior in high school. I was captain of the boys' soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, neither of us knew what we were doing back then, so it wasn't crazy, but she was hot back then, too.
Yeah.
Mike's looking at pictures of her right now.
Yeah, she's very, very attractive. Good for her. She's a great American. She is the captain of the captain of the women's soccer team, U.S. national
team.
She is. Yeah. All right. Awesome.
More
good for you, man.
Porn stars up there. Porn stars.
Yeah. I am. The only reason I'm interested in talking to people who've had sex with porn stars is because I want to know sometimes, like, if they're really kind of cold, not on camera.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like if they've. Hello, Danielle. Danielle?
Uh-huh.
Hi. What celebrity do you have sex with?
Ben Savage.
Savage. You had sex with a Boy Meets World guy.
Yep.
How old was he?
This was like a few years ago. This was like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So he was an adult.
Yeah.
I was hoping like he like got offset and like crushed you and like was being like a nice guy, the Boy Meets World guy, and then was like doing anal with Danielle. Yeah. Did he do anal?
No, but he talked about it.
He talked. There it is. Good. Because Ben Savage.
He didn't want to wear a condom either, and I made him.
Uh-oh.
He didn't like wearing condoms.
Yeah, but that's a Disney thing, from what I hear. All right, and that's fantastic. You should be very happy about that.
Do we work for a Disney company now?
I don't think so.
ABC? KABC?
Oh, no, because I
think it's now Cumulus, so it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I don't think it's like when we used to work for CBS Radio,
right,
where it actually is part of CBS Television.
Right.
I think they're, let's see here. Hello, David. David?
He's off. He's bolted.
Hello, Mark.
Hello?
Hi. Who'd you have
sex with? Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. It's our pleasure.
I used to work at this bar out in Sherman Oaks. And I met an older woman. I didn't know who she was at work first. Turned out she was Michelle Pfeiffer's sister.
Uh-huh.
She's a B-list celebrity. The biggest deal about that is I found out later that she used to pal around and sleep with George Clooney, making me Eskimo Brothers with George Clooney.
Yeah, you are Eskimo Brothers, in fact. With
Eskimo Brothers? Is that what they call
that? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dee Dee Pfeiffer is Michelle Pfeiffer's sister?
Yes. Yeah.
She was on a couple episodes. I guess the episode of Seinfeld where George does the opposite of everything.
Yeah. She's very, very attractive.
Yeah, she's good looking. She's probably around 50, 52, I guess.
She's come on this show all the time, like 15 years ago.
Good for you. Yeah, she's very,
very nice.
Very good looking woman.
Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah.
What is that?
It means you've had sex with the same girl.
Where does that come from?
Alaska? I don't know.
Building an igloo together?
I honestly don't know.
Blood Brothers because you put blood in each other's veins.
I honestly don't know where that figure speech came from, but I have totally heard it before and used it before.
I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Thank you to everybody who called. Now we'll take your calls regarding whatever you want here on Loveline.
It brings you beautiful love, and it'll drive your mind through 1,000 terror-filled moments.
More Loveline still to come.
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's most extraordinary new dramatic series. Starting Thursday, March 5th, watch American Crime live at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Then tune into the American Crime podcast hosted by me, Elvis Mitchell. Each week we'll have a candid conversation with show creator John Ridley, plus show talent, character storylines, and more. Go to podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now.
Zendaya sucks. F you. I'm upset. Juliana Rancic, actually. I'm really upset she apologized because I was watching. Of course she has to because it's E! And it's the worst company ever.
No, it's the social media is the worst ever. And people are going to lose their jobs if they don't.
I understand. That's my point. If I said what Juliana Rancic said and Zendaya, and I happen to be important enough that Zendaya cared what I said, I would not apologize, and I'm pretty positive that the radio station that owns – the radio company that owns Loveline and owns my other because it's insanity.
Well, too bad Joan wasn't still around because she would have picked this up and kept going forever.
Oh, no, she would have called Zendaya a C-word.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. She would have had something to say every show. But
God damn it. I miss Joan Rivers. I really miss Joan Rivers. It's such a shame she's gone.
How's Kathy doing?
And listen, this is – and I also mean this – To go out. This is probably not Zendaya. This is some handler of Zendaya, some weird agent idiot or some
stylist.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Juliana Rancic on Fashion Police, which I was watching live.
How's
when this
Kathy
happened.
Doing that?
I'll go ahead and get to that when I'm done with my goddamn statement.
Go ahead.
I was watching live, by the way, which is embarrassing. But Juliana Rancic said that Zendaya, who's a singer, I guess, like a child star actress, whatever.
Never heard of her before.
The only reason I knew who she was because of Proactive commercials. Mm. But she's very pretty. Very, very pretty young lady. She had like long dreadlocks at the Oscars. And Juliana Rancic said on a show that's about her style and look.
About making fun of styles.
Right. She said, I don't like that look. It looks like she stinks like patchouli because she had long dreadlocks. And somehow that's a racial statement. Actually, no, that's a dirty, smelly hippie statement, which is very appropriate and not at all tied to any race.
Mm-hmm.
So shut up. Stupid. If anything, that's more commonly a knock on white people than anything.
Right. The patchouli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The patchouli stink of an old school hippie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Hello, George. I hear you're curious.
Yes, yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
Hi. I used to be really close to these girls. Their sisters.
Hold on. Can you start all over? I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, it's Mike, huh?
Yes.
Mike, dude, you're awesome.
Thank you, man.
Super funny, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so is Dr. Drew. You have a lot of thought, man, in there. You have a lot of brain, dude. But basically I met these girls in my religion. They're super awesome. We used to go to all these trips, like a lot. I got sexually involved with them and emotionally, and I couldn't choose either one. And, at the end we had a fallout. We both, we went to our pastors and, you know, we told them what happened, but they kind of put me out as a raper, kind of like a sexual assault to them just because they were embarrassed to tell the truth at the moment. Now, I moved away and stuff, you know, whatever. It's been like about 2 months, and now they're trying to come back in my life. So I don't know if I could trust these girls. I mean, I love them to death. You know, like, they had, like, the keto apartment. Like, I actually have one of their cars. Like, one of them took a car out for me. You know, they're good people. But sometimes, like, I'm worried. And my mom sometimes tells me, you know, she watches, like, all these, like, cop things, murders. She's like, you know, unfound cases of murders. And she's like, be careful, you know. You were emotionally connected to these girls. They're kind of crazy a little bit, you know.
That somebody's going to stalk you and come back and kill you?
Something like that, dude. Because one of them turned out to be, you know, really not all there. And she's like the older one. I'm 28. One of them's 25. And the older's 35.
Is she still stalking you?
No, she's not stalking. No, we're talking and stuff. You know, it's cool. Like, it kind of naturally we started talking again. I mean, I'm having kind of second thoughts a little bit, and I don't know if I should.
I don't really understand what you're asking.
Yeah, I'm having trouble tracking you, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
I had these friends.
Okay.
They screwed me over.
Yeah.
Telling them lies to their family and my religion.
Okay.
About me.
Yeah.
Now they want to come back to my life,
then,
and I don't know.
Then get an apology first. I am a big believer in accepting people and redemption and giving people second,
right?
Third, fourth, fifth chances. I'm all about that. I mean, unless they're barring the extremes, you know, rape and all that kind of stuff. But people.
They pointed the finger pretty hard, dude. You know.
I think this is a very personal decision. Dr. Drew and I can only give you our opinion. I feel inappropriate.
Sure, I can give an opinion, right?
I feel inappropriate kind of guiding you either way. I just feel like I'm a big, big believer in forgiveness, but make sure that they are truly contrite.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, don't let
people. I didn't quite understand what the problem was, really. But
yeah, I can tell he was really nervous. Maybe probably didn't want to open up.
Yeah, mom's got a bad feeling about it. Okay, I would listen to that too.
Let's see here. Hello, Carrie.
Hi.
What's
up? How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I listen to your show all the time, and I heard you guys talk about some guy called in and said he used Clomid for, like, helping him do bodybuilding or something. I don't know.
Yes. No.
Right?
Well, we're talking about it for brain injury, but go ahead.
Right. Well, I was prescribed, I got pregnant with my first daughter, and I was prescribed it for fertility, and I was on it for a year and a half, and then I finally got pregnant with her. And then with my second one, it happened just naturally. Now we've been having problems trying to get pregnant again with a third. And I just wanted to know if there was any long-lasting effects with it.
No, it should be fine.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, I listen to your wife's podcast all the time, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
And
she cares about it very much. So I will pass along the message. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just wondering if you guys, like, I have kind of a thing going with my husband where he's so, I feel like sometimes he's hard on the girls that we have. And I didn't know if, I think because I have a lot of childhood memories of my parents being a little bit harder on me, that I have a hard time disciplining her.
Oh, okay. That's a valid concern.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't.
Okay. Because sometimes it's like, well, you need to be hard on her. And I just feel that, like, I don't know. So I didn't know if there's something.
I don't know if it's the fact that he's a man and your daughters are women as much as it is. It's always like the question begs, how do you remove your own personal experiences as a child from disciplining your children? You know,
right. What do you mean he's what do you mean he's disciplining the children? What do you mean?
Well, you know, like I have a 1.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And he's like, the 2.5-year-old needs to listen better than what she does. And I'm like, well, she's only 2.5.
Look, there should be no yelling. There should be no yelling.
Right.
And there should be no hitting.
No, we just do timeout.
Yeah, timeout. Timeout should be done completely dispassionately. Completely.
Right.
If you're showing anger or upset, you're doing it wrong. Or if you're raising your voice, you should have done a timeout 3 steps earlier.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Because I just feel, okay. Thank you, guys.
No problem. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We are taking your calls about whatever you want. A lot of calls tonight.
Yeah, lots of calls. Lots of them.
A lot of activity out there. The streets are hot, Dr. Drew. The streets are hot. Okay. 1-800-LOVE-191 is, in fact, the number. Anderson's mumbling to himself in the corner like a mentally unstable homeless man. Mm. Are you done playing with your poo, sir?
Right. Seems to be.
Okay. This is Loveline.
Back with more Loveline in a bit.
Loveline.
Loveline.
Yeah, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello, Bethany.
Hi.
What up, baby?
I have a question. So I've been with this guy for about a year and almost a year and a half now. And in the beginning of our relationship, I know I'm not supposed to go through his phone and it's not healthy and whatnot, but I did, and I found, like, a lot of porn when I was looking through it.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, it was after we had been together for, like, 4 months or so, and it was just, like, a constant thing, and I didn't say anything to him about it. And when I finally did, it was, like, I know that all guys do that, and I know that he knows that a lot of guys do that, but I guess it's, like, a problem for him.
Oh,
like,
really? He's got, he actually thinks it's excessive.
Well, he thinks it's an addiction, and it worries. It's not that it worries. I guess.
Are you sure?
Me.
Or did he just say that to make himself get you off to get you off his back?
No, I mean, I know that in his past, like his parents and his family has a lot of other different kinds of issues, drugs and alcohol and all that, and okay. Some of the situations that he was in when he was younger, it was like, on all the time.
Like what do you
mean? All the time. What?
Porn was on all the time when he was a kid?
Yeah. Yeah, when he was like 7 and living in motel rooms here and there, like
okay.
In situations with just people on drugs, and it was right. Always on all around.
A lot of instability. Okay.
Yeah, well, that will do it. Yeah. Okay. So why doesn't he get treated?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess like he knows that it's an addiction for him, and I'm like wondering what's going on in his head when he's doing that. When we've been in a relationship, and I know
he's got an addiction. Why doesn't he get it treated?
Well,
yeah, quit bringing it back to you.
Yeah, here's what's in his head. I'm an addict. I can't stop, so I need to get treatment. That's it.
Well, I know that he works on it, and it's not like I talk to him about like what he's going to do to fix it. I haven't really crossed that. I've kind of just been accepting it and getting over it. And
no, he's not. He's struggling with it. He needs to go get treated. There's no getting over addictions without treatment.
I guess I'm wondering what's going on in his head.
Nothing. What's going on in his head is I'm an addict. I can't stop. He was traumatized when he was young. That stuff was biologically sort of wired into him, and now he can't stop. It's not. No, he's thinking nothing. He's thinking I need to watch porn. That's all he's thinking. Has nothing to do with you. He needs to get treatment.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Nothing going on in his head. He needs to get treatment.
So it's just something that turns off, like, your thoughts or whatever?
Sometimes. That's sort of how it works, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's. I guess I've read a lot of different stuff on the internet, trying to figure out.
Okay,
like,
go to website centerforhealthysex.com. Centerforhealthysex.com. Okay.
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 Thank you.
Go there.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, guys?
What up, yo?
Hey, so I just have a quick question. I finish way too fast.
Yeah, attaboy.
And I feel like I have a very low sex drive.
Hmm.
So I want to know. Yeah, I want to know why that is.
Are you on medication?
I'm not on any medication.
Has it always been low?
I don't think it's always been low. I mean, you kind of don't pay attention to stuff like that when you're young. And
how old are you now?
I'm a little bit old. 21.
And is it with one person that it's low, or just generally that way?
Yeah, I guess one person, yeah.
And by low, what do you mean?
I can go once a week with sex and I'm good.
That may just be you.
Is that simple?
Yeah, it may. It's not as if you're saying I could go a year.
Yeah, or a month, or even.
And I don't masturbate when I'm not getting it. I mean, It is low for a 21-year-old guy, but it's not unheard of.
If it's a sudden drop-off, get a medical evaluation before you do anything else. Okay?
Okay.
All right, brother?
I have one more question.
Yeah. So much for quick.
So I heard you guys speaking before to previous people about how depression and stuff like that kicks in
mm-hmm.
around these ages and stuff like that, mm-hmm. or mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have kind of like a lack of caring about anything.
Yeah, I think you're depressed. And that's one of the reasons I was suggesting you go see a doctor. But first you get a medical evaluation. Then you get, if there's nothing medically precipitating this, then it is probably depression.
And there's no, I know there's no quick
question. Oh, man, is this a quick question? Huh?
Let's see. Let's talk to Ashley. Ashley, hello.
Hey, you guys. Oh, my God. I'm so happy to be
here. Oh, my God.
What's going on, Ashley?
All right, what's going on? So I have always been what I thought was responsible when being sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
However, a few days ago, I was told that I have contracted HPV.
Which
and
makes
I
you
so overwhelmed with what this means. And
it means you're normal. Means you're with the 80% that have it.
I know, but it everything that it could lead to is just so overwhelming. And I just
Have you had the vaccine?
No,
Get the vaccine, then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Right, and hopefully you haven't contracted one of the more serious subtypes, but you can protect yourself against the serious ones, and the other ones go away by themselves anyway.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'll just go.
Let's end this so that people stop tweeting me. Hello, Greg.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, so earlier I heard you guys talking about Eskimo Brothers. And
yes, it was around before the league.
Oh, it was?
That's why the league brought it up.
Yeah, I get. I don't know where it came from, but and the guys on the league are super funny and amazing, but it was a figure of speech before that show was ever about. I mean, I heard Eskimo Brothers in the 90s and stuff.
Damn, because I was like Googling this for a good half hour, and I couldn't. All sources were leading to the league.
They maybe brought it the most notoriety, or at least the most fame.
Or brought it up lately.
Yeah. And that show's awesome, so I'm glad that it's getting that kind of attention. But like I said, I just known about it way longer than the league was even a TV show. So I wish I knew, like, its genesis. Thank you for the call, though.
Okay, then.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi. Hey, guys, I had a couple questions.
Yeah.
I dated this guy for about 9 years, and sex sucked. And then we broke up for about 2 years, and we've been back for about 2 years. And now I can squirt.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right? You would think. I just had a couple questions about that. First of all, is there a way to control the amount that comes out?
Oh, the amount. I thought you were going to ask, is there a way to control squirting? And I meant, direction?
Maybe empty your empty your bladder ahead of time, because some of it is urine.
Okay.
That'll control the amount. The part that's created, that's produced by the periurethral gland, it just is what it is.
So
that jizz, what a jizz.
Sometimes how come it feels different? When I squirt, it doesn't feel like a straight orgasm. Because you're peeing.
Well, no, she's saying that sometimes the squirting is disconnected from the orgasm, which is many women report that. And that's just what that is. No. But even then, it's just a disconnected contraction.
And pee.
So it's disconnected for some women.
And pee.
At certain times. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Yep.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, buddy?
Hey, so yeah, I'm kind of having all these mood swings, kind of all throughout my day, where I just it's like hot or cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I should probably seek therapy for it.
Okay,
I'm kind of concerned. I smoke a lot of pot,
mm-hmm.
and by the way, my phone's dying, so if it cuts out, I'm really sorry.
Okay,
and also I live in a state where they just legalized marijuana,
mm-hmm.
so I got all these things kind of ahead of me, right? And I just I'm concerned because I just became a father and I don't want to mess things up. Things are going really well, We've been dating for about 4.5 years now. So
okay. Well, I mean, if it's a concern to you, the weed, and you know, you sound like a sharp dude.
And if you were drinking too much, like drinking is legal right. too, you'd back off.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally, I'll drink, but I don't drink. It's not my choice.
You're missing my point.
I smoke a lot of pot.
I know, but if you were drinking too much, that's also legal, and it were causing mood swings, you'd stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing with pot.
It's right. You know, I mean, it's a relatively innocuous drug and it can have a lot of benefits and all that, but it also is, it's active in your brain. It's a chemical that affects your brain. And if you're having a hard time regulating your emotions, having mood swings and stuff, it's something I would look to, you know?
All right. Well, what if...
All right. Good show, everybody.
Yeah.
And remember this, in this crazy mix-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold, engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.
Stanley. Stanley. Stanley.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.